How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 104 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder, and you can subscribe to the podcast there. You can leave a review once you're on that page as well, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can find all of my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, as always, Monday through Friday. If you're a long time or even just like a short time listener of the show, you'll know that. So you can find me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day, after games, previewing games, in between games, everything. I'm on all the time. So you can always find me today. One of those pods is going to be after the game. The Blazers just beat up on the Thunder, 114-95. Thunder got out to a big lead early. They were up 9 points in the first quarter, up to, I think it was 20-11, and they just got rocked after that. Blazers went on a huge run. The second unit completely gave it away. The starters came back in, and they couldn't. They seemed to get it back for a little bit, got it into single digits, but then they were down 16 at the half once again. Third quarter was even uglier with the starters back in there. 20 turnovers for the Thunder, 38% shooting, 30% from three. Really ugly performance. It was ugly offensively with those turnovers, with the missed shots, with the poor spacing. It was ugly defensively. Just honestly, that might have been the worst. I'm running through it in my head now, and I think it was probably the worst Thunder performance of the season. That was a bad loss. Of all the problems that they had, I'm going to go ahead and say the spacing was the biggest of them all, because that's the thing that I think is going to transfer. Look, they've had spacing problems all year. This has been an issue all year. There just aren't a lot of shooters. We talk about it all the time, right? That's why there was all that clamoring for Anthony Morrow to play when Morrow was coming off the bench. That was always, you know, a hot-button issue. It's because Morrow shoots, and Morrow provides spacing, and spacing is something the Thunder didn't really have. And they still don't really have, even with Morrow playing right now. But with Victor Oladipo out, man, Portland had no problem just throwing everybody on the floor into the paint. Like when Russell Westbrook drove to the rim, everybody collapsed in on him. And that's not necessarily new. But how aggressive they were doing it, man. Like, Portland was just throwing everybody at Westbrook. When Adams would roll to the paint, when he tried to post up, everybody was jumping at Steven Adams. It was just to an almost comical degree how aggressively Portland was packing the paint against them. And they just had no respect for any of the shooters on the outside. Now, Donovan surprised me a little bit. I thought he was going to start Anthony Morrow. And I did think, I said it on the podcast yesterday, I did think that there was a distinct possibility that he was going to start Morrow, and then at certain points throughout the game, he was going to go to Jeremy Grant, and he was going to use Jeremy Grant in replace of Morrow and stick Robertson to the two in those sorts of situations when it works situationally. He started with Jeremy Grant. I was a little surprised by that. Maybe I shouldn't have been. Historically, when Billy Donovan, like, when things can go either way, he usually goes with the better defensive option. That's just his style, and that's how he usually thinks. But I was surprised it happened in this scenario. You know, even though Oladipo is a pretty good defensive player, I think the biggest thing you're losing when he leaves the starting lineup is just his shooting, is the quality of his shooting, the fact that defenses respect him, that they stay on him, that they guard him for the most part on the perimeter. And with Jeremy Grant, no one's going to guard him. And now all of a sudden, you've got a two and a three of Jeremy Grant and Andre Robertson, who defenses have no problem helping off of. You got a four in Sabonis, who shoots well. He's making his threes, he's making his outside shots, but he's passive enough on the perimeter, and he's got kind of a slow enough release, and plus he's a rookie with 25 games in. The defenses just aren't really respecting him. They're not really guarding him. They're very happy to go in and help on Adams, help on those pick and rolls, help on Russell Westbrook when he gets into the paint. There's no hesitation in leaving Sabonis, and obviously Adams isn't going to step out to three. So you just have no three-point shooters on the floor, really, when you go out there with that starting lineup. I thought it was going to be Morrow. He obviously isn't going to save everything, just one guy, but he can help. he can make some amount of a difference. And Donovan did play Morrow, and there were times where they were still aggressively helping off everybody else when Morrow was out there. But I really thought that was a problem, just the offensive spacing in the game. And that's something that if Oladipo is going to be out, Oladipo, obviously, he sprained his right wrist, should have said that at the start, sprained his right wrist on Sunday night against Boston, and he missed the final three quarters of that game. He didn't practice on Monday. They announced that he was going to be out right before Tuesday's game. They didn't say who was going to be starting until everybody took the floor, and we saw it was going to be Jeremy Grant. And we don't know his status beyond Tuesday. We don't know if he's going to play on Wednesday against the Jazz. He was wearing a brace during shoot-around on Tuesday on his right wrist. But we don't know if he's going to play against the Jazz. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. We don't know what his status is. The team hasn't said anything about a timeline or anything like that. So I guess for now, we just got to take it one day at a time until the team says something. The defense was pretty down, too. The defense was pretty down as well. They gave up some. They had some real issues guarding the paint. Portland, 54 points in the paint for the Blazers. That is a lot. Guys were driving by guards. And here's the thing. With the starting lineup that Donovan went with Grant out there, like if you are going to prioritize defense, I don't know if I necessarily agreed in that situation. I think I probably would have gone with Morrow. But I understand the logic in going with it. But when you prioritize a defensive lineup like that, like they have to defend. That's got to happen because if they don't defend, they're not really giving you anything, right? Because they're not going to space the floor. That lineup wasn't really going to score. So you needed them to go out and defend like the top six defense the Thunder were coming into this game. And that just didn't happen. The guards weren't staying in front of guys. Lillard was torching Westbrook. He was getting into the paint and getting to the rim. I thought Adams was often slow to help. Guys shot really well in the paint for Portland, which was really a problem. Major, major issue. Just a lot of problems. A lot of problems on the defensive end of the floor. I didn't think they defended the three-point line particularly well. And look, Portland is a good offense. They're a team that's 13-14, and they're super exaggerated. They were a top-10 offense. I think they were 9th or 8th in points per possession coming into this game. And they were literally last in defense coming in. And the Thunder could not score against them, which is really the problem. The problem is not that Damian Lillard played great. Damian Lillard is a great offensive player. He's not a very good one. He is fantastic. So the problem isn't that Lillard played great. The problem isn't even that like Mason Plumlee played really well. The problem was that this offense couldn't really do anything against statistically the worst defense in the league. Now, I don't think it is actually the worst defense in the league. They've gotten a little bit unlucky in terms of types of shots teams are making against them. They're not the shot distribution that they're giving up shouldn't reflect the worst defense in the league in terms of number of catch and shoot threes they're giving up and points at the rim and that kind of stuff, but this is still a bad defense. It's a defense that's really struggled, and the Thunder struggled just to space the floor against them, and I thought that was a problem. Quick note, I just want to tell you guys that you can check out BetDSI.com if you're interested in betting. It's been in business for over 20 years, and BetDSI.com has a great NBA special. You can sign up today and get $20 free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit. It's great customer service. It's fast and easy payment of winnings. Hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. They've also got UFC and a million other sports, and BetDSI has live in-game wagering on football, basketball, and other major sporting events too. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. Go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there now and use promotion code THUNDER10, all one word, THUNDER10, to get your free wager and start winning today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
A couple Twitter questions from Russell Mania. Do you think Dame is the best offensive point guard in the league? I talked about him a little bit earlier. No, I don't think he's the best offensive point guard in the league. I think that still certainly belongs to Stephen Curry. I mean, Curry had, what, one of the 10, one of the 12 best offensive seasons of any player of all time last year with the way that he shot the ball, scored the ball, led an offense, most efficient offense ever that he was on last year. So Stephen Curry holds that title, and with the season that he's having, he hasn't been quite as good this year, but he's still been pretty unbelievable. But Dame is a guy, he plays like Steph. Like, he's a guy who, like, especially when he gets hot, he played really well against the Thunder, and he killed Westbrook. He played really, really well, but he wasn't, like, insanely hot Dame. He had one shot where he pulled up from, like, you know, 7 feet behind the three-point line and he hit it, but he does that all the time. The times where you're like, whoa, he's absurd, or when he comes down, and Billy Donovan talked about this a little bit, he has these spurts, very similarly to Curry, where he can, you know, come down the floor and he can, you know, in four possessions, he's going to hit three threes and two of them are going to be off balance and contested and from 30 feet, and they're just ridiculous shots. You think I have no chance of going in, and somehow he makes them. He gets super hot. He's become really good at finishing around the rim. That wasn't necessarily the case when he first came into the league. It absolutely is now. It's another thing he has in common with Curry. But he's a great pick-and-roll point guard. He's got this crazy quick release on his jump shot. He can make shots from everywhere, 30 feet off the dribble. He's got that floater down now. Like, that floater is really good, and it wasn't always really good. Finishing around the rim is really good. It wasn't always really good. He's not the greatest passer. He's a good passer. He's not a Chris Paul passer. But in terms of a scorer, like, he is, I tweeted this tonight, he is a near perfect scorer in my mind. He is such a fantastic scorer. I think only Curry is better, but, like, look, that's Stephen Curry. I don't think he's the second best point guard in the league, but the best offensive point guards in the league, the best scoring point guards in the league. He's crazy efficient. He shoots the lights out. I put him right behind Curry. I go them and Curry in 1-2. And if we're talking about the best overall point guards in the league, there are some other guys I'll take over him. I'll take Chris Paul over him. I'll take Russell Westbrook over him. But he is great. He is a great player. He was an All-NBA guy last year. And I guess for the sake of this conversation, I'm considering James Harden a shooting guard, because James Harden would be above Lillard in this one because of all the shots he creates for other people. But if he's a point guard, I'll put Harden ahead. Otherwise, I'm putting him either second or third. Next question from Ray4ZS. Ray4ZS wants to know if I can play backup point guard for the Thunder. And I'm going to merge this with another one from Austin S. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much trouble is OKC in if Victor Oladipo misses an extended period of time? So we're obviously speaking in hypotheticals here, because we don't know the timeline on Victor Oladipo. For all we know, he's back on Wednesday. We don't know anything about it. The Thunder have explicitly said nothing. So we're speaking completely in hypotheticals right now. But one of the issues with Oladipo out, it wasn't just the spacing the Thunder lost in the starting lineup. It was the second unit. Samaje Christen had to take on a bigger role running that second unit, because Victor Oladipo often ran with the second unit. He was a big player in running that second unit, and he wasn't there. He wasn't there on Tuesday, and man, that was one of the worst games of the year for the reserves. The Thunder got off to an okay lead early, and as soon as Westbrook came out of the game, they just got rocked. They got ran out of the building, and the starters didn't play well overall on the night. They didn't. They played well for the first 6 or 7 minutes of the game, and that was it. But once Westbrook came out of the game, it was like, it was over. That was when Portland just absolutely took over. And part of that was because that offensive unit just couldn't move the ball. It didn't have a creator. Christen has nice potential defensively. He's a big point guard. He fights hard on the ball. He's good at getting around screens. He seems like he's going to be a good team defender. He really cares about and seems to understand defense. He's good at all that stuff. But right now, I mean, look, he's a 32% shooter running your offense. And that's a problem. That's a problem. I mean, there are moments like where the ball came out to him on the left wing, and even though he had the ball, nobody ran to close out and guard him. Portland just kind of waited 12 feet off of him. And Christen didn't shoot. He pump faked. No one bid on it because no one was close to him. He pump faked and then he put the ball on the ground after hesitating for a moment. And like, those are the sorts of things that delay an offense, I think. I don't know how you necessarily fix it with Oladipo out. Because when you got Oladipo out, when you got Cameron Payne out, I mean, those guys plus Westbrook plus Christen are supposed to be the ones running your offense, supposed to be the ones helping with your second unit, helping with your first unit, facilitating everything. When you're missing 50% of them and you're left with Westbrook and Christen, like, it's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault. Tristan's in a position right now which he wasn't supposed to be in. And I think considering the circumstances, he's doing an okay job, but the second unit offense is something that I think should worry people with Oladipo out. I guess you can get the ball into Kanter, and if Kanter gets really hot, he can just dominate second units because he's obviously a tremendous offensive player. But something you need to realize about running a second unit through a big man and running your offense through a big man in the reserves is that you need a point guard to get him the ball, whether in pick and rolls, whether in post-ups, whatever. Like, the Thunder need somebody who can give the ball to him and let him operate in the post. And I don't know who that somebody is. And even if you're a great post-up player, Like, scoring out of the post exclusively is not efficient basketball. You don't want that to be your primary play. If that's your primary play, you're going to have an inefficient unit. Now, if you want to post up and you want to get threes out of it, you want to create ball movement out of it, that's cool. But if you're giving the ball to Kanter and you're like, okay, just score, that's not efficient offense. That's why nobody does that stuff anymore. It's because posting up so you can score, no matter how good you are at it, is pretty inefficient basketball because post-ups are usually not the most efficient shots. And Kanter's great at it. He's fantastic at it, but it's just not a style that works fantastically if you're only using it to score. Now, maybe the Thunder would have to do it because there's not that many offensive options in that second unit. But that's one of the problems that's presented when Oladipo doesn't play. So Thunder on a back-to-back right now. They play in Utah on Wednesday night. That's an 8 o'clock game Central Time. Jazz are real good. Jazz are 15-10. They now have the same record as the Thunder, who are also 15-10 after the loss to Portland. Top 10 offense, top 10 defense. They've had a lot of injuries. George Hill's been hurt. He's supposed to be out for the game Wednesday. Rodney Hood has been hurt. I don't think he has a status yet for Wednesday's game. Derek Favors has been hurt. He's supposed to come back and play limited minutes against the Thunder on Wednesdays. ESPN's Tim McMahon reported that on Tuesday. So that's a really big help for Utah if he's able to play. I don't know what the definition of limited minutes in, but if he's able to play and contribute a decent amount and look like Derek Favors, he's a really, really underappreciated, underrated player. And him and Gobert make up one of the best front courts in the league. Gordon Hayward has missed some games for them too, but he's really, really good. They've had injury issues. They seem to have injury issues every year. But that's a crazy talented team. They're really deep now. I think it's a team that's going to end up top five in the Western Conference with Houston and the Clippers and the Spurs and the Warriors. I think Houston is going to end up being the four, but it wouldn't shock me if the Jazz ended up getting there. You know, Houston is so dominant on the offensive side of the ball, and they're a below-average defensive team. But, man, the Jazz are so balanced. Like, not that many teams end up top 10 in offense and defense, and the Jazz are there now, and I think they're going to end up doing it because I can't imagine they're going to end up any more hurt than they've already been. I'm still assuming that they're going to get healthier, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe they just never will, but I'm still assuming they're going to get healthier. They run a lot through Hayward on the wing, especially with Hill gone. Gobert is as good of a rim protector as there is in the league. Guys shoot only 42% against him when he's contesting a shot at the rim. So that's going to be a really interesting battle with Westbrook trying to do everything he can to get to the rim. They're well coached. Quinn Snyder's a good coach. And look, I imagine they're going to be doing a similar thing to what Portland did. They're going to be collapsing in on guys. Now, if there is a silver lining to this game, here it is. And look, this is not a goal, but it's the one positive you can take away from Portland. Thunder players, because they got killed so much, like Russell Westbrook only played 27 minutes. Sabonis played 20, Adams played 26. Robertson played 31, but no one else played a ton of minutes. Honestly, I was surprised that Donovan left the starters in as much as he did. I figured, just concede the game. Just give it away and play for the Utah game. But that's the silver lining. Second night of a back-to-back. They lose an hour. They've got the travel. The game, at least, is not that early. It's an 8 p.m. Central game. But that's tough to begin with. But they're not coming off like some really close game where Westbrook played 39 minutes and Adams had to play 36. They hit cruise control late. They sat for the whole fourth quarter. So there's your positive. But if the Thunder win that game, that's their best win of the year. Utah's really good. The Thunder will not be favored and should not be favored to win that game. But it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from this Portland game. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's the beauty of the NBA season. It's so long that a loss like this Portland one feels like it could be so detrimental, like it's such a big deal. And then like a week, we forget about it, right? So I'm interested to see how they're going to bounce back from this. I'm interested to see how they deal with the spacing issues that they had, how they deal with the defensive issues that they have against another really good team in Utah. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday, like I said at the start of the show, and you can head out to iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, and you can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ, and log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I am back with you tomorrow for a wrap-up of the Jazz game. Probably going to be doing that with David Locke. I assume you know who David Locke is if you're listening to this podcast. It is called Locked On. So I'm probably going to be doing that one with David. And until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.